Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Today we're in part 114 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. And this will be tape 216, program 216. If you'd like a copy of it at the end of the program, Sharon will tell you how to receive it four different ways. We have some letters, some from the United States and elsewhere, and another a message that I'm sure you'll be glad you heard. Right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord to ask Him to anoint this program. Father, from Your place in heaven, pour out Your Spirit. Lord, it's so good to have Your Spirit for spiritual strength and physical strength. I thank You. When I was in the gym the other day, I didn't feel like working out at all. And when I said to You, I wish there was some kind of way to have more strength. These guys take steroids and everything. And right then I felt the power of Your Holy Spirit coming down upon me. And I felt like I was 100 times stronger than I was ever. And so I realized that there are heavenly steroids, Lord, and I really appreciate that. Lord, give spiritual steroids to the spiritual realm today. Let everything You say give spiritual power to the listener. Power, open their minds and give them the power to be able to receive what You're saying through me. And open up their hearts and their spirits to want, put the desire in them to want to receive the most needed thing in the entire universe, which is Your everlasting life. And make, Lord, them understand the things that are being said, that the church may be edified and souls will be saved. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And everybody says amen.
Amen.
Okay, I was just saying on the tape the other day that Iran and Iraq were one and the same. They gave the Jews the authority to go and rebuild Jerusalem. This is the Persian Gulf, which consists of, back in those days, Persia was the ruler of the entire known world at that time, which went clear into Egypt and even past, and covered Turkey and whole Middle East at that time. And so they let the Jews go and rebuild the temple and the different things of the Lord, Jerusalem. And God blessed them. Look at all the oil they have over there now, and all the absolute wealth that everyone, that even the United States is desiring to have their wealth. But they also are Arabs, and their religion is Muslim, and now they've turned on the Jews, and now they're being cursed. When they blessed the Jews, they were being blessed. But when they cursed the Jews, they are now being cursed. So if the Jews will turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, and if the Muslims will turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be peace in the Middle East. Muhammad never died on the cross for your soul, to take away the sins off your soul. And when the Lord takes the sins off your soul, He takes your former sins away. And there's so many people that are preaching today that God is a God that loves us unconditionally, and that is not true. With God, everything is conditional. He says, if you do what I tell you, then you're my friend. You are my friend if you do everything I say. But if not, you are my enemy. I love those that fear me and keep my commandments. And the Lord tells us that we are to seek Him with all the heart, all the soul, all the mind, and all the strength. I know that when I didn't believe in God at all, and in the office in Beverly Hills, when I first was acquainted with the Lord, at first I thought I was going crazy, but He really showed me that it was that I wasn't crazy, that He really did exist, when He started pulling the breath in and out of my body and showing me His tremendous intelligence and power. And I did things that I would never do. I didn't know the scriptures at all. And some people may think that God is unfair because the way that in the world, the realm that we're living in, that people are preaching against the truth and saying that it's unprofitable to serve the Lord. But I know that ever since that the Lord showed me that He was real, I feared Him and I went out to seek Him to all the different churches. And I never went to a church, not even one of them, that showed me that God really was. They were trying to tell me that God was different than the Lord showed me that He really was. And that's how I knew that all the churches were false and that they didn't really know the Lord. And there you don't see any fear of God. Everything is just, God will forgive you of sins, former sins, sins past, present, and in the future. I just heard Charles Stanley preaching that stuff again. He talks real good, but so did Hitler. Hitler was wrong. All these preachers sound really good. And they say a lot of truthful things. That's what makes them so deceptive. But then all of a sudden they'll throw that ringer in and just absolutely destroy everything that the Bible says. The Lord says that we are not. If we continue on in the faith, then we shall be saved. But if we don't continue, we will be lost. He even threatens His saved ones in the book of Revelation when He tells them that we must have zeal. We must have heart. We must have the Lord living in our heart. Like when we are in sports, you see people playing sports with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. They get beat up. They get their limbs broken, and they just can't wait to get back in. You see people fall off horses in horse races and in automobile races, and they bust their heads up and they break their bones. And 3 or 4 weeks later, or maybe six months later, you see them back in the car. They have this desire to speed and to excel in whatever sport it is, because that sport is in their heart. They can't stop from doing that. And this is what the Lord says we must do. We must have this desire, this Him in our heart. We must convince the gainsayer that what they are doing, that they're living in this earthly realm, that they must begin living in the kingdom of God. Now, we're in the kingdom of God right now, if we're born again of the Spirit. And eventually we'll be in the kingdom of heaven. We, are by the Spirit, are to be in the kingdom of heaven. But the Lord prays, you know, He tells us to pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. The kingdom of God, is He wants it to be here on earth, as it is in heaven. And so He wants His representatives to bring about, He wants to put the kingdom of heaven in them, because that's where He says the kingdom of heaven is. It's not here on earth yet. It's in His people here, the kingdom of God. But eventually, when the trump is sound and the Lord ends everything by a great fire here. The only ones that will survive the fire will be those that are the kingdom of God here. Then heaven, after the earth has been burnt and heaven has been burnt, because sin has been in heaven and sin has been here on earth, and the Lord wants to refurbish both of them. So he's going to burn them to a crisp, purge all the sin that was ever in it out of it, and then he's going to come back to earth. In heaven, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, will come down here where the kingdom of God was established by his servants, and then heaven and earth will be together. And so the kingdom of heaven is where God is, and the kingdom of God is in us, and we're here on earth. And so he wants us to have this love for the sport of destroying Satan's ill-gotten kingdom here on earth by preaching the gospel convincingly as you hear boxers talk about how they knocked all these people out, and as convincingly as you hear these people that drive these Formula One cars and these other kind of vehicles in Daytona, and also riding racehorses. I have a son that has won over 2,200 or 300 thoroughbred races, he's broken many bones in his body and everything, and it was just almost everything. He's in his 40s now, and on one of the visits to me, I talked to him. I told him, look, you're too old to do this. He was running 10 miles a day with clothes on and going around the track trying to stay at a certain particular weight. And for what? Son, for what? I mean, this is not going to give any stature to you in the kingdom of God. Why don't you come over here? And in case you need to check on him, his name is Michael Moran. He was one of my sons when I was unsaved many years ago. And his mother and I parted. I have a son by her also named Corey, and a daughter, Maureen. And they're in their 40s. And sure like them, you know, to come into the ministry, and because there's so much more here than there is by him being in a horse barn. And now he's managing riders. But the Lord wants us to serve him with all the heart, all the soul, all the mind, and all the strength. And he states in the book of Revelation that if we don't have zeal, that kind of zeal as a person in sports, like football, basketball, baseball, or car racing or horse racing, that he's going to spit us out of his mouth. Because after all, this is God talking to us and telling us that. And after all things belong to us if we do what he says, but nothing. There isn't anything that we could gain, like trophies or anything on this side of eternity, or money or fame that we're going to take with us, because all these things will be forgotten here on earth. Only what we do for the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be enduring, which is going to last forever. And so we need to be concerned about the things that are going to last forever. We're not going to take one hundredth or 1/1000th or a millionth of a penny with us. We're going to stand nude, naked before the Lord God of whom we have to do. We have to do business with God when we stand up there. We have to do it here, or we're not going to be standing before the mercy seat of Christ. We're going to be before the great white throne of God. And so that's the most important thing to do. So the main thing the Lord is looking for is not just people that are Casper milquetoast, where they just blasé, they go in. He wants to abide in us, to live in us, and represent himself in us, and allow him to take us wherever he will in this earth. For no matter where we go, if he's with us wherever. And some of these people say God never drives us to do anything. Well, for heaven's sakes, he deals with us as sons. He, the Holy Spirit, drove his son into the wilderness. Amen? The Lord wants to drive us wherever he will. And he wants us to do it. He wants us to have him totally surrendered unto him so that we can have the zeal to not be spit out of his mouth. I don't want to be spit out of his mouth after putting in almost 42 years in this gospel field. I want to stand with him in heaven and stand with him here on earth. I know if I stand with him here on earth, I won't have to worry about whether I'll be standing with him in heaven, because as we are in this world, so also shall we be in eternity. If we serve him whenever we please, or if we serve him half-heartedly or just 99% of our heart, we're not going to make it in. Charles Stanley is wrong. The Lord does not love us unconditionally. Everything. You read all the different scriptures that say, if you do whatever I tell you to do, I'm going to bless you, and if you don't, I'm going to curse you. And he tells us that the parable of the 10 virgins, 5, they're all virgins, they were all saved. But 5 of them didn't keep the Holy Spirit in them, and 5 did. And when the Lord came, without any announcement, the 5 that were saved went to meet the Lord, and they were not afraid. But the other 5 that didn't have the Spirit living in them, they were saying, let us borrow some oil, in other words, some of the Holy Spirit from you into us. And no, I'm not going to give you any of the Holy Spirit that's in me. I've done the work of the Lord, and I've sought him, and I'm not going to give any of it up. I'm giving it to the things of the Lord to you now by the Holy Spirit talking in me and through me and to you. And that's where you're going to be able to get the Spirit, if you hear what the Spirit is saying unto you. And if you do what the Spirit says unto you, then you won't be afraid when the Lord cometh, when he comes to get you. When you hear your name called, you're not going to be able to get yourself in order that fast. I have to study every day. I have to pray every day in order to be able to keep the Spirit dwelling in me. And if you don't do that, you're going to be terrified at the coming of the Lord. I believe many people are terrified right now because they know they're not living the life of the Lord. They're not allowing the Lord to represent himself in and through the people. The Lord saved our souls for a purpose, and that was for us to be able to rule. Now, the two first people, Adam and Eve, had the Spirit of God in them, and he said, okay, now reign and rule and have dominion over the earth, over the fish, the fowl, the animals, the worms, the bugs, everything on the face of this earth, have the power and dominion over them. And the Spirit of God was in them to be able to live forever. But when, and so he says, don't let anything, the evil thing, come into the garden. Make sure you eat. The only law then was also eat only from the tree of life, the tree of power. See, the everlasting power, the tree of life, which is representing the Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Eden. Because Christ is life. He's our life. The Word of God is Christ. The Bible says that Christ is the Word of God. He came to dwell with us. That's in chapter 1 of John, verse 14. Verse 1, you must read that, and then verse 14 afterwards. And so, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, see, that's the thing that the Lord knows, that we love him if we keep his commandments. For love towards him is if we keep his commandments. And we don't know what his commandments are unless we read the Bible. His word. If you love his word, then you'll be saved, because his word is his only begotten son, Christ. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in the word of God, that says you must love God with all the word, all with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you can be saved. And then if you continue on, you shall be saved. And it's all conditional, because you'll read in the Bible all the different conditions of his love. They say that God just loves everybody unconditionally. No, he does not. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, the Lord Jesus Christ, God said. Okay, so God loves and he hates. God makes alive and he kills. God sends people to heaven because he shows them how to go to heaven, and he sends, has written this pathway to heaven in his word. And if we read it and study it, not just read it like a novel, but if we study it with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, then he'll uncover hidden truths. And Pontius Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father without reading me, the word of God. Anyone attempting to get into the kingdom of God by any false religion, any false doctrine, any other thing other than me, the truth, is a liar, and the truth is not in them. I'm not in them. And so we have to be careful to be zealous to Christ, to Word, the Old and New Testament. The Old Testament, we can't really understand the New Testament unless we understand the New. And you say, well, it's too wearisome. You don't get weary playing basketball, football, baseball, feet skiing. They have this new sport, feet skiing. You know, where you don't use water skis, you just, your feet are so big that you can just ride on top of the water with your bunions. You know, people are so zealous, and you see them flying off these cliffs with these wings, and some of them crash, and oh God, they're so dead set to tempt the Lord God. Parachuting, so zealous, hey, here we go, hidey-ho, and away we go on a great big day like today, flying, you know, through the air. Why don't you, is that going to get them into the kingdom of heaven? I say, the Bible says no, okay? That's a sport, and not only is it a sport that tempts the Lord. You're trusting in parachutes more than you do the Lord, and some of the parachutes don't open. Pity. All right, so remember to study the Word of God zealously. That's why all most of the pastors today, especially them on television, are so wrong. You'll hear a lot of the message that's right, but then they steer. You don't have to worry, they say. God just loves you and has forgiven your sins, past, present, and future. That is the devil talking to you. The Lord says, now that I've forgiven you, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing happen to you. And he says to those that were saved and then go back to a life of sin, or just living their old kind of life before, they never give it up to be able to live the life of Christ. He says, you're like dogs that have gone back to your vomit, to lap up your filthy vomit, and like sows that have gone back to their wallowing in the mire. I've given you a lot of things to think about. You know, order this tape, 216, program number 216, and Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program. We have some letters now, Lydia.
From Little Rock, Arkansas. Dear Pastor Tony, yesterday afternoon I found one of your newsletters at a Walmart shopping center in West Little Rock. I found it in a shopping cart by the grace, power of God. I found some others on some cars and trucks nearby, but put there by your distributors. Praise and glory to God towards them always.
Right, because they're zealous to get the word of God out, because they know that the time is short. The ones that they think are saved and all they do is go to church and clap their hands and give a few bucks, or even a lot of money, doesn't matter. That isn't being merciful to people. Well, we're being seen on television. Yeah, but your preacher's teaching the wrong stuff. And so my literature preaches the right stuff. And I'm not looking for your money. The Lord says that he's looking for it. So you have to tithe and give offerings to churches or people such as myself that are preaching the truth so that we can pay for all this literature and tapes and books and Bibles that we're sending out. But you don't want to do that, and so that's okay. I'm doing that. I'll take your reward, okay? Whatever the money comes in from us working, what you really, people don't realize that we are not government sponsored at all. What we do is we work for our money and we put it into Bibles and literature and radio broadcasts. Now, I know we don't pay as much money as some people, but we pay in the $90,000 or more per month on radio, and we spend a lot more than that on literature and on feeding, clothing, and housing people. And so and we do it with zeal. I mean, we're not at all, it's like a labor of love. I mean, I don't feel that I'm working, and yet people say I've done more than, Sue and myself. When Sue was alive, she's been gone 24 years now, but we've done more than all the other ministries combined with the truth. Now, I know there's a lot of people that are preaching fallacy, but as far as we are concerned, we're preaching the truth. And remember, we were on television 10 years too, 10 years solid. But in the meantime, we're preaching on the radio, shortwave, and AM stations here and there. Continue the letter. Let's do it with zeal, though, everybody. Amen?
Amen.
If you give, don't give grudgingly. I'm not asking for your money. The Lord is the one that does that. Read the book of Malachi. Go ahead.
I read your newsletter over and over again, and I'm still reading it as of now, along with an extra newsletter. I read Mass Suicide several times over again. I follow that industry of the 21st century, and everything in these two historic newsletters is true, and the word of the Almighty is true. I would like you to send me the newsletter for this month and next month. I listen to you on KAAY 1090. The good news in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is that he's coming back to this to turn this wicked world upside down and inside out. Thank you, Tony Alamo, for informing me with this true piece of information. Praise God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brother Edward from Little Rock, Arkansas.
Okay, well, Sharon, you better come over here. We had a lot more letters to read. One was a Mexican man, Spanish, from New York City, and he found a piece of literature on the street, rejoiced tremendously. We'll probably read that tomorrow, and he called over here, and one of our Spanish people witnessed to him, and he couldn't get over the fact that the literature, all of it, is free of charge. If you need a Bible, it's free of charge. Shipping and handling is all paid, postage paid. You don't have to pay anything. These tapes or CDs are all free. The Messiah books are all free. Everything, because God gave me eternal life freely. I didn't pay a penny for it. And he's given me so much since then. I'm sure we went through some terrible times, and I've been through fire and everything, but the Lord wants to test us to see if we, just like you test a team of horses, you go out to the racetrack, like my boy was telling me, and you see these thoroughbreds racing. Nobody's interested in the one that doesn't do good, the one that's at the end of the race or anything, but the ones that are tested and tried, the ones that win the races are the ones that get purchased. Amen?
Amen.
And the Lord will test us. He doesn't want to exalt somebody in the world as a world leader in the spiritual realm unless you've gone through fire and unless he knows you've got him in your heart. You've got him in your soul. You've got him in your mind, and you've got him in your strength, and you just give everything of yourself for the Lord, even until the time you drop each night. And now I've gotten to be almost 72 years old. I'll be 72 in September the 20th. I'm still as zealous. I'm not able to do as much, but I realize that the things that I do is not me, it's the Lord anyway. So the Lord doesn't want us to start creating, leading, guiding, and directing. Everybody wants to have control of their life, but the Lord doesn't want you to have control of your life. He wants to have control of your life. He wants to surrender you to surrender your entire life over to Him and for you to let Him have control over it. And you know, Jacob in the Bible had to wait until he was a pretty old man before the Lord was able to take him over. And when he did, all of a sudden he found out that his son Joseph was the ruler of Egypt. Now, Israel, Jacob didn't do that, did he?
No.
God did that, amen?
Amen.
He didn't do one thing to do that. And that's what the Lord really does, is when it's a work of the Lord, He's got all kinds of surprises for you. So just let the Lord live in you, and don't try to take leadership of your own life. Discipline yourself to be disciplined to surrender your life unto the Spirit of the Lord, the mighty, powerful Spirit of the Lord, because the Lord wants to harness you and to lead you. Now, He's not going to force the issue. You have to do it willingly. Amen?
Amen.
And if you'll surrender yourself unto Him and let Him drive you around where He will, then great and mighty things will happen unto you. When you try to do it in your own strength, forget it. It'll never happen. And that's what happens when we get to a little older in age, is we start realizing that we can't do anything. He says, without me, you can do nothing. Amen?
Amen.
Nada. Amen? Nada. Nothing. So surrender yourself over to Him so that He can do everything. He said, but we can do all things in Him. Amen?
Amen.
And us in Him. And Him in us. That's where we have to get. We have to be there. All right? Okay, let's start reading how to have God's life living in you so He can live out His life in and through you so that He can represent Himself. The world doesn't want to see any of you or me. They want to see Jesus. It's like those people that came and said, we would see Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
We don't want to see you. Buggers. We would see Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
The three wise men didn't come to see Joseph and Mary. They came to see the King. The King of the kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's read.
The Bible tells us that when the fullness of time came, God sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world.
Right, the fullness of time, there's like almost 4,000 years. Okay, then what? Then all of a sudden everything was in place. All the prophecies that foretold of His coming were in place, and then that was considered the fullness of time, and then Christ appeared on the scene. He was a perfect baby, a perfect boy, a perfect young man, and then a perfect man. And then the Lord baptized Him with the Holy Spirit, and He was the perfect God-man ever since He was a baby. Amen? Okay, then what?
You can read Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law.
Mm-hmm.
End quote. What this means is that God patiently waited to send Jesus until everything was right, until the environment was absolutely perfect.
Yeah, like I just planted a field of corn out here. And when we put the thing in, everybody was looking, you know, to see the first blades come out. Quite a pretty good sized field of corn. Now all of a sudden, you know, we patiently waited, and pretty soon it got up to ankle deep. And then clear up to our, halfway up to our knees, and then into our knees, now past our knees now. But we had to patiently wait for it to happen. Nothing's going to really happen unless God gives it the increase. Amen?
Amen.
The grass and all the leaves on the tree and all fruit and vegetations, and all vegetables and everything. This is the perfect illustration of the resurrection, because it came from a seed, and Jesus stated that he was, the Bible says, her seed, the seed of the woman, will crush the head of Satan, and Satan would bruise his heel. Amen. So we go through a little bit, but it's more fun to crush his head. And we crush his head by, it's not us, it's the Lord in us. The Lord already has the victory, so why should we not live in the Lord and allow the Lord to live in us, to surrender ourselves to him? Because all riches in glory and here on earth are in him. All riches, amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All right, then what?
Jesus came at the very perfect moment in time and place in history.
Yes, he did.
I've written a book called The Messiah, and a lot of people think, how is this that everything fits like a puzzle and makes it the most perfect time 2,000 years ago? What makes it perfect? There are many things. Amongst some of them is the time was perfect because there was a major earthly kingdom in place that was able to provide tangible and visible illustrations for Jesus' teachings regarding the kingdom of God. The Roman Empire serves as a pseudo-model because it was a kingdom that Satan foresaw and put together.
See, Satan was alive in the kingdom of heaven at one time under the name Lucifer. And so he knows how God's kingdom was run. He was there. They say he was there, Charlie. Yeah, he was there, and so he saw how God operates. There was a king, and so he figured... Now, the Bible says that Satan's seat is Rome, Italy. That's his seat. And so that's where he decided to set up his throne, and it's the Vatican, because there's no other power there. The World Bank, the world religion is right there, and the government, all the world government is there, the head of it. And he dictates to the, he has his governors set up. We call them presidents and kings, but these are governors of Rome that this pseudo-king, this earthly king, this demonic king sits. And the Bible says that he is given his power by that big red dragon, the devil. And what they do is bomb all the different countries and put their representatives in there. And in the kingdom of heaven, God has representatives over different jurisdictions in heaven, and he has different governors of his here on earth. The region, God gives you as big of a region as he's given you the gifts to be able to rule over. So he, God, has his princes here on earth and his princesses, and he has his kings, his ministers, which are the rulers of God here on earth, and they are not the civil powers. Not that we don't have to obey the laws of certain laws that they have, like speeding laws and all that, but we're not to believe that when they say that we can sin. And that's what they do. It's that, or we're not to believe that we can't read the Bible or pray. Or we're not to believe in evolution and all the other satanic things that this Roman satanic Antichrist kingdom tells us to do. Okay, continue.
He foresaw what the people of the kingdom of God would do, because he was in the kingdom of God.
Well, he knew exactly how it is there. And so he said, Rome is the exact setup, only as God's king. It's the imitation of God's kingdom in heaven. But God doesn't set it up that way. God's kingdom is set up by him living, the kingdom of God entering in us, the kingdom of heaven entering into us, so that it's the kingdom of God here on earth. Okay, and it doesn't come with observation. We're living in the spiritual realm now. You can't see Satan living in these different people. You can only tell Satan living in them by the things they do and the things they say. And you can also tell the kingdom of God by the things that we say and the things that we do. If we're living lives that are similar or like the people of the world, if we're lying, stealing, committing adultery, fornication, homosexuality, lesbianism, stealing and lying, and all these different things, we know that, those kind of people are, that Satan is living in those people. They're possessions of Satan. And the Lord has his different leaders here on earth explaining these things so that the people of the world are able to determine, they can look at themselves and begin realizing the difference between God and Satan, the earthly kingdom here, this false satanic earthly kingdom, and also the kingdom of God. You have to learn to differentiate between the two. And then when you are able to differentiate by the preaching of the gospel, then you can choose which kingdom that you want to live in. Do you want to abide by God's law or by living in His Spirit? The Bible says there's no, He forgives your sins, and there's no more condemnation for the former sins that you committed, so long as you don't go and sin anymore, unless it's a sin of ignorance, and then God can forgive sins of ignorance. But not if you willingly, wantonly, knowingly begin living a life of going to clubs, partying, living, you know, going to baseball, basketball games, watching rock and roll or a certain kind of music that you are looking for truth in music or sports or something like that. Then you're not giving your whole heart to the Lord. You're giving your heart to sports or music or something else, but skydiving, feet skiing, or water skiing, whatever you want to do, you know, racing. Then your heart is into that instead of the Lord. He wants you to have no other God, no other desires, no other goals other than getting into heaven. Because if you love the promises of God, which is eternal life, immortality in heaven, well, then He knows that you are deserving of entering the kingdom of God. If you're interested in being merciful to human souls by distributing my literature or soul-winning literature to people, and you're desirous of backing up a gospel ministry that is really a 100% for the Lord and that's not involved in the earthly things here, because God doesn't want 99% of your heart. He wants all of my heart and your heart. That's what He says, that we must eat Him and drink Him, just like you eat and drink baseball, basketball, football, racing, or whatever sport you're into, or hobby, craft, work, like you want to just be an attorney so bad, you want to be the number one attorney, or the number one president, or you're competing who can make the most money and all. You're not going to take any of these things with you. And so stop desiring the things of this world. Begin planning for the world to come, where you're going to stay. Because just as surely as you're breathing now, even if you're breathing by some mechanical device, just as surely you're going to meet God, whether you want to see Him or not. Well, you don't want to meet God. You'll see that God doesn't love you any more than you love Him. If you, because He's done everything in His power to show you the way, the truth, and the life, and if you don't, you just want to thumb your nose at that, the mercy that He's shown unto you, and you don't want to show mercy to anybody else, it's just, everything is just for you and yours. You show no mercy, and you'll receive no mercy at the great white throne of God. No mercy whatsoever. And the Lord wants you to live every day with zeal, gusto, fuego, fire, Holy Spirit fire. And remember, God is not a ghost. He's not the Holy Ghost. There's no such thing as the Holy Ghost. That's one word, that's one thing in the King James Version that's not true. He's not a ghost. He's the Holy Spirit. God is spirit, not ghost. In order to worship him, we must worship him in our, with our spirit and in his spirit, and his spirit in us, and in truth, which is the word of God, in Jesus. Okay, continue on.
He knew how everything was run there.
God, see, the devil knows how everything was run in heaven. As a matter of fact, he was God's covering angel. He was Lucifer. And what?
Everything was under Caesar. The Roman Empire was a kingdom.
Right, so when he started building his kingdom here on earth, everything was Catholic and everything was Caesar. The religion of Caesar with Catholicism, okay? And he took his orders from Satan. That's where Satan's seat is. Now, if you don't believe God, then who do you believe? If you believe anyone other than God, then you're going to hell. Because you don't have the love of the truth of the Word of God. And if you don't, then he sends you strong delusions. God sends you strong delusions. Read that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So that you'll believe a lie that your soul might be damned. Well, what kind of a God is that? He's the kind of God that does that, and he's a dictator, so what are you going to do about it? Amen?
Amen.
You're
going to
do... Come on, God, let's go to Duke City, you know, Front Street. Come on, put up your dukes. You're going to lose, okay? You may think that you look macho to whoever you're rooming with, but you're not going to look that way when you stand before him. It's a fearsome thing to fall into the hands of a living God. God is so awesome that he would frighten, he even frightens the earth. When he looks at the earth, it shakes. Amen?
Amen.
And the heavens. Satan, just at the name of Jesus, he trembles. Amen?
Amen.
He's afraid of the word of Jesus. That's why if you see some dog even come barking after you, say the blood of Jesus is against you, because you know the devil's in that dog or animal. Start pleading the blood. Start coming against it in the blood. All right, go ahead. The blood of Jesus, that is. Then what else?
The Roman Empire wasn't a republic or democracy, but a kingdom. Caesar was a king. He wasn't a president. During Jesus' day, Rome ruled most of the known world. Its government, laws, institutions, and culture were everywhere. Everywhere that Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God had a physical equivalent to Rome, the Roman Empire, making his message understandable to the people who listened to him.
Right, but you have to reverse it, that it is Satan's kingdom, because that's where God said Satan's seat is. So all the people that follow Satan are people that will follow, take the mark. They've already taken the mark of the beast in them, because as they believe in their heart, they have Satan in their heart. The love of this world, the lusts of this world, are in them, not God. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, is not in them. They're doing the will with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. You can see them. It's so boring, you know. You watch those channels where they're on their C-SPAN and all that, and they're just up there barking up the wrong tree, so to speak. Okay, keep going.
A good example was that the Roman Senate was called...
They look so stupid to me, you know, because they're not saved. They're not born again. They don't have any real knowledge of the valuable things of eternity in them. And they look so stupid. You say, I give my 5 minutes to so-and-so. I give my 1 minute to so-and-so. And they get up there and just blab. We think that we should do this and we think... And nobody pays any attention to them anyway. But see, those of us that are rulers of the Lord, we tell you, hey, president, king, queen, all you people, from the smallest to the largest, you have to repent or you're going to hell. We're positive. You're negative. Okay, go ahead.
A good example was that the Roman Senate was called the Ecclesia, a Greek word that means assembly or called out ones. Greek and Latin were both widely spoken throughout the kingdom or the Roman Empire.
The Satan's Antichrist empire. And Paul said there are many Antichrists today. Amen?
Amen.
And so Antichrist is not just one person. Antichrist is a corporate body of the whole world that is so, you know, that follows Satan. CBN, you know, all these news networks and everything, they just put on what the people want to hear. But the thing that we're preaching is what the people don't want to hear. And because the spirit of Satan is in them, and they love death. All those that hate me, God said, loves death. And they love misery. And they're going to get plenty of it, and for eternity. Then what?
Jesus was speaking Aramaic and Hebrew, the common language of the Jews of Israel. But the four Gospels were originally written in Hebrew.
The four Gospels were in Aramaic and Hebrew. Then what?
The rest of the New Testament was written in Greek.
Hellenic Greek, the Greek written and spoken by the Jews. Then what?
The Gospel writers used the word ecclesia in passages where Jesus talked about building his kingdom or his church. Just as Caesar had an assembly of called out ones that he called the Senate, Jesus also, both the Son of the living God and the King of Kings, had his assembly of called out ones, which
were Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and Apostle Paul, and myself, and people like us. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
He had his assembly of called out ones, which were the New Jerusalem, or the church, or his bride.
The Apostle John, all them. Then what else?
The coins that Caesar issued were stamped with his image and inscription. People understood that whatever bore Caesar's likeness and image belonged to Caesar, and he had every right according to the law of that day. Likewise.
But not the law of God. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord says, give to Caesar what Caesar, because that's all Caesar's going to get, is a little bit of money. You may think it's a lot of money, but the streets of heaven are lined with gold. That's so hard for the mini brain. But I understand the mini brain, because I had one at one time too, until the Lord gave me supernatural visions and visited me in so many different supernatural ways. I thank God that He did, because there isn't any false preacher that can sway me. There isn't any government agency that can sway me. I've seen Jesus. The Da Vinci Code is nothing but sheer cow manure. I would say more like pig manure, okay? It's not even worth talking about. Or chicken manure. A variety of manures. Okay, then what?
Likewise, they could understand that anything that bore God's image and stamp of ownership belonged to God and was His for keeping, because He paid the price for it, His precious blood.
Right. So God really owns everything. And if you want to have everything He owns, He says, just come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, and I will give you Sabbath to your souls. So Seventh-day Adventist people, it is not just one day. It is not Saturday, Sunday, Friday. In Jews, it's not Friday afternoon till Saturday afternoon. It is every day that we are to be forgetting our old life and living, resting in Christ, letting Him live out His life in and through us. Amen?
Yeah.
It's a seven-day Sabbath, an everyday Sabbath, 365 days of the year Sabbath. Ah, hallelujah.
Amen.
Let the Lord live in you. He doesn't want to live in you one day and then let the devil live in you six other days. What are you, crazy? Then what?
When we come to Jesus and give Him our life as a living sacrifice, the first thing He does is our image is changed, and He changes our name. He gives us His name and calls us His sons and daughters.
Right, and you can become a son or a daughter of the Lord Jesus Christ right now. You want to be a son of God or a son of Satan? You want to be a daughter of the Lord God, or you want to be a daughter of Satan? You have a choice, and you must make that choice on this side of eternity. You really don't know that you're going to live, I don't either, another day. For that matter, another minute or hour. You know, we don't know when the Lord's going to come to get us. We don't know. He says He's going to come as a thief. We could be laying in bed, sound asleep, and all of a sudden our eyes open up, and there He is. And He'll say, it's too late. Come on for judgment. And you go fast. It isn't some drawn-out thing. Some people think that God was just lagging with the creation of the world, but he did it in 6 days, okay? And it says in the morning and the evening were the first day. Amen?
Amen.
That's a 24-hour span. And so the Lord is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. He's able to speak things into action very quick. The Lord showed me how fast people will go out to eternity. I was lying there asleep, and I was laying on my stomach. I'm so afraid now to lay on my stomach when I'm sleeping, because right out of my back went the spirit. There was like the whole sky was gray with clouds. It was like a vision, and a little opening opened in the clouds, and my spirit went up there and then slung down. He showed this is how fast people. And it happened so fast that you couldn't say, oh, God, have mercy on my soul. It just went, vroom, vroom. Just that fast. I was up there and down, right into hell. And I said, oh, thank God that I wasn't lost. Praise the Lord. Oh, God, you know, I was really so happy. And that's how fast judgment is. You'll go up there and down. And you'll profess. You know, it's no big thing because there's so many people to judge. It's just very fast. And God is so quick and so powerful and so wise and so full of knowledge. And he would get bored if it was like, you know, you go into a court and you have attorneys. None of that stuff. You know what you've done in your life. And the things that you did will come right out of your mouth just like a tape recorder that is on full speed. You know, I did this, I did that, I did this, I did that, I cursed your name, I did all these things. I was into basketball, football, baseball, I was into homosexuality, I was into this, other. It'll just zoom right down so fast, it'll make your head swim. So you can become a son of God or a daughter of God right now by just saying this prayer to the Lord. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you have answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now, I'm going to serve you now, Lord. Praise the Lord. Just raise your hands and praise and thank the Lord, and share and tell them how they can receive a copy of program number 216. Please specify whether you want a tape, audio tape copy, or a CD. It's free of charge, postage and handling included. It's absolutely free. Then what?
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Until tomorrow, this is World Pastor saying God bless you, and thank you, Jesus, for saving your soul. Praise the Lord. Amen.